Tracy, can I add you to my Game Center account for iPhone multiplayer gaming?
Sure.
Cool. Okay, well my code is 49244 82893 49125 59494 48. What's your code? We need to do it both together, otherwise. Anyway, sorry. It's the wonders of the 3DS multiplayer, or rather, just adding a friend.
Wait, hold on. Was that a four, the seventh digit? I'm writing that down.
No, the 82nd digit is the four. The rest of them are
Oh, yes, my mistake.
think you're being slightly over-enthusiastic. I think you'll find it's only 12 digits, isn't it?
Yeah, it's something like that. It's a bit convoluted though. I haven't found any purpose for it yet either.
I haven't added anyone yet. I don't know. What's the point?
I forgot.
You can see what they're playing online, can't you?
You can see their me's and what they're playing online. But it doesn't do anything else other than that. I can't send them messages or, you know, play a game again.
Are you kidding me?
Yet.
Yeah, maybe they'll add.
Well, not as a Street Fighter has multiplayer.
Yeah, I think you can invite people to a game for that. But in general usage, there's not much purpose in it at the moment.
Well, this is, before we go right into it, remember this is a company that couldn't even launch a digital store with the launch of their new platform, so they're not exactly network savvy.
Although, there's a saying that, like, game centers change anything for anyone. I mean,
sure, yeah, totally, yeah.
None of these community things work, as far as I can see.
I like OpenFaint. I always say this every week.
Why do you like it?
It's got achievements, and I can see that I'm number one in Cambridge.
You wouldn't need a social thing for achievements. Achievements could be hard coded into the game, couldn't they?
Yeah, but it's a little different. I understand what you're saying, Will, because it's more about like it's more of the Xbox Live PlayStation Network approach of like it's tracked across games, and it's a meta game about the achievements and the trophies and such. Yeah. That's what's appealing about it.
Yeah, Tracy gets it.
But not everybody is into that. It's funny that we were talking about, you mentioned Game Center, because somebody was playing an iPhone game and they were saying, one of my friends was saying, I got all these achievements and then it didn't sync to my Game Center account. And I logged in just right now and I have none of the achievements are there anymore. And I said, oh, yep, that's Game Center. And he's like, are you sure it isn't the game? No, it's Game Center.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, it's slightly better than Nintendo's handling of it anyway. I haven't done the proper introduction yet. Hello, welcome to the iPhone and iPad gaming podcast from Pocket Gamer. I'm Will Wilson. With me is Tracy Erickson.
Hello.
And John Jordan.
Hello.
Well, let's go on to the...
Yeah.
Right, well. We've done an introduction. Let's go straight on to the news.
News.
Okay, first up this week on the news. It is the last week for reader votes for our best of 2010, best games of 2010. So if you haven't already, although I think we confusingly called it Readers Awards 2011, but it's
not
about...
confusing, it's like FIFA 2011.
That still confuses me. yeah, so if you haven't already voted, and a lot of you have, so thanks very much, but if you haven't already voted, then why not? Why the hell not? What are you playing at? What are you thinking of, you idiot? No, you don't have to vote, but it is required by law that you navigate to the site and vote. It's a bit like the national census here in the UK. We can fine you £1,000 if you don't reply. We can't do that. So anyway, yes, if you haven't voted, do go to the website.
That was good.
Do you know how many people got fined last time they did a census?
They didn't know because they didn't fill in their census form.
No, but they fine. They know how many they fine. They fined 34 people out of about a million who didn't fill in.
You ruined my joke.
Sorry.
Never mind.
It wasn't very funny then, was it? Really?
It wasn't very funny, but it doesn't matter. Statistically speaking,
not anymore,
at least some people would have laughed at that. I'd have made at least 34 people laugh.
And if they don't laugh, then you can just threaten them with a fine, right, Will?
Yeah, that's how I do. That's how I go through life. I'm single. Anyway, the yes, the reader votes. Go do them. They're great fun anyway. And you don't even have to fill any forms or put your email address in or anything. So, I mean, it's just like, it's like two clicks and it's done. It closes this week, though, so hurry, hurry up. Right, onto other news. There's been two, actually there's been sort of three bits of news this week, which have all kind of been related to one another. And it's all about the this year's WWDC. Basically, this is the event where Apple normally does their announcement of iPhone, of the next iPhone. And so there's a rumor going around that the iPhone 5 is going to be announced. That's kind of not even a rumor. It's sort of a truma. It's a truth rumor. But then another rumor popped up, which said Apple haven't even got any started ordering any parts in for this iPhone 5, and it won't be announced at WWDC this year.
But when is WWDC, Will?
June.
5th. That's a bit way off, yeah. It's June 5th. A bit way off.
Well, when I last manufactured my mobile phone, I had the parts ordered a year in advance. yeah. Seems it's an odd one, this. We don't normally get a rumor saying a delay.
Well, Tracy, you're a WWDC expert.
Well, it would be... I think things are probably going to go a little differently than they have in the past this time around. I mean, because it only makes sense to me in the sense that this 1 year cycle is pretty tight, and at some point, you know, the demands of having to design something as technically complex as a phone, a high end smartphone, it's going to catch up with Apple. It would catch up with any company, so it wouldn't necessarily shock me if they said, you know, we can't. I mean, they wouldn't say it this way, but in all intents and purposes, they would say, we can't get it out this summer. It's going to come out in autumn. That doesn't necessarily mean that they won't announce it, though, at WWDC. I mean, that would be the time to make an announcement, because if they push it back to, let's say they want the phone to come out in September, and they want to stick to their typical Apple thing where they announce it within a 30-day period. So of it hitting stores, you know, that would mean that the way they have a press conference in August or early September, that would conflict with their usual MO of announcing, you know, an iPod refresh, doing new models for their iPod line of devices. So I don't know. This one's it's tough. I mean, they've kind of backed themselves into a corner here, you know, by being so predictable in the past, you know, because they've kind of compartmentalized their hardware announcements and said, okay, we do all of our iOS stuff in June, we do all of our iPod stuff in September, and we do all of our Mac and iPad stuff in January, February. So now if they decide that they're not going to stick with it, it's going to create, you know, what's going on with Apple? Something's wrong. You know, because it's, you know, they've been so predictable in the past. So, you know, with Apple, people freak out about the smallest things. You know, people are, oh, you know, something's wrong because, you know, they may not be able to get an iPhone out in time for June. It doesn't really matter. It's, you know, they make such quality products and they have such, such a solid share of the market, that's not going to go away anytime soon. Even if they were to make a mistake, that it causes me not to worry. I would be more concerned if it was like the rumors were they're not going to be announcing a new iPhone this year, because that would point to some serious, you know, strategic troubles in terms of, you guys need... go ahead.
But I mean, there could be there's still the underlying bubbling under rumor thing. It still seems to be about some sort of cheaper iPhone, doesn't it? Because
yeah,
I mean, I think you're right. That would be the strategic thing they have to decide. Because at the moment, obviously, a lot of companies, a lot of analysts are predicting the smartphone business for the next kind of 5 years, or even now. I mean, Android is in terms of like unit sales is just exploded, so it's faster than everyone. Which is not a market, you know, Apple want, but potentially we have that, and also they could be squeezed by Nokia and Microsoft,
yeah,
who will do cheaper phones. So there is a strategic decision they have to decide on, whether they want to just focus on tablets and $600 phones, or whether there's a way they can do, because they did do it with iPod, obviously incredibly well, to go from an iPod Touch to a Nano. You know, that's a really big range of so if they wanted to kind of do that kind of switch, then that would potentially change quite a lot their strategy. Well, not, obviously I'm not saying that is going to happen, but I think that's something that at some point could affect.
That's an interesting, I think that's an interesting point. I wonder, though, how different the market is for an iPod versus an iPhone, in the sense that with an iPod, the device is completely useless on its own. It's really meant as a vehicle simply to sell content via iTunes. So at the, you know, whereas the iPhone is similar in the sense that ultimately Apple wants you to buy it so that they can sell you content via iTunes, whether it's the music and movies or whether it's the App Store and apps. And they certainly can make a compelling argument to say, well, you have to have the latest phone in order to run the latest apps. But even without the App Store, you know, Apple still makes some money off of it simply because it's just a high-end smartphone and people will buy it just because it's a phone.
Yes, hello, welcome back. Of course, you didn't go away because you're listening to this after I've edited it. But we just had some massive microphone issues here. We've just sorted it out. But unfortunately, we've completely forgotten where we are. So we're going to move on from the previous news article. Let's go to our final news. Is this going to be our final news? No, it won't be. Second news piece of the week. Rovio has launched, I think it's the Mighty Eagle again, isn't it? Rovio has said something amusing again that headline writers have all leapt on. Yeah, it is Mighty Eagle. Saying this time it's because last week it was saying consoles are dying or something along those lines, and this week let's just quote it. It's interesting to see people like Nintendo saying smartphones are destroying the games industry. Of course, if I was trying to sell a $49 piece of plastic to people, then yes, I'd be worried too.
Well, it's kind of nice for Rovio because at the moment they can say whatever they like because they're the biggest hit. No one can say you're a failure. I mean, it's just so literally.
Right.
And he's a very talkative chap, old Peter. I mean, he knows the industry very well, even though he's not been at Rovio for very long. But he's just in that nice period of time where he say controversial things, people write about it.
I mean, this is going to bite them. Come back and bite them in the ass, though. In the future.
Well, yeah. I think, you know, if you go around saying not nasty things, but if you go around saying controversial things, as soon as people can get one over on you, then obviously, you know, even journalists, you know, it's Rovio, mm-hmm. You know, if they do some sort of little slip up or something happens, then the headlines will reverse very quickly.
I think they probably think that it's a good idea to have him out there saying these outlandish things because it gives them publicity. And it is effective in doing that, but it's not all good publicity. He's making himself out. Some of these, there's some, you know, you can say, oh, okay, I can get where you're coming to this conclusion. I can understand the logic. But others are just flat out just, you know, windbag-ish, you know, like... They're not, I mean, the quote isn't even right. I mean, they don't charge $49 for DS games, you know? So it's like, you don't even have your facts right when you're making, so how can we take the criticism, you know, seriously?
I think also it's quite soon after the previous one as well, which was effectively on the same lines.
Well, and I think that's, if he was spacing out these sort of comments, you know, if it was like, oh, he drops a bomb here, he drops a bomb, you know, a couple months goes by, he drops another one. But it just seems to be like every week. And it's like,
He's probably being interviewed a lot.
Yes,
yeah. A lot of talk. So
to his defense, it was during an interview, and he's obviously going to get asked a question on those lines.
But. I mean, obviously, the weird thing is, it is clearly a correct kind of assumption that but the headline, a shift has happened in the games industry from retail games to downloadable games, is hardly a headline, is it? So, but I mean, that's all he's saying, you know. I think it certainly will be interesting because Nintendo have really not been very good at digital download games. So I mean, that is a challenge for them. But I think they know that, as you know, you don't need to be a Rovio to work that out.
Well, let's move on from Rovio and move on to. Actually, let's go to a rumor confirmation, or do you want to handle that in the rumor mine?
No, it's news now, isn't it?
Well, if you remember rightly, listeners, a few weeks ago, the rumor miner told Tracy that THQ was going to lose the Star Wars license, which would put. Did he go into specifics about there? It might put the Star Wars games at jeopardy that are on the App Store.
No, and that's what's really stunning about this piece of news.
Yeah, because believe it or not, the rumor miner was once again correct, listeners. And today, I think we've just found out that one of the developer of the Falcon, Millennium Falcon AR game, is going to have to take the app off the App Store on Thursday because THQ's license with LucasArts comes to an end, and that means all Star Wars games licensed by them, I believe, are being taken off the App Store.
Well, I think that second bit's a slight assumption, but there's no reason to believe. It seems odd if one of them's been taken down that the other ones won't be taken down as well.
Mm.
Really, doesn't it? So, yeah. It's kind of interesting because obviously the 31st of March is the end of THQ's financial year, so it would kind of seem to make sense that would be a time at which a license would finish. So. Mm.
I could see the logic behind taking down the alternative, the augmented reality game. Versus not taking down the other Star Wars games, and that's simply because I mean, this is almost a laughable argument, but the AR game doesn't fit within the canon. So, you know, you could get away with saying, no, we understand. Okay, the tower defense game was crap, but, you know, it's replicating the Battle of Hoth, that makes sense, versus the AR game is simply taking Star Wars assets and then superimposing them on whatever image the user wants. So if they want to take a picture of a butt and put a, you know, put an X-Wing over it, they can do that, and that might not please LucasArts. Hence why they might want to pull the AR game and keep the other content up there.
It must have got approved in the first place. Mm. I mean, all those Star Wars games go through approval processes. So, I mean, you could be right, but and I guess the other thing is it's probably not selling. I mean, you wouldn't pull a game that was selling really well, would you? But I wouldn't imagine any of those Star Wars games are selling particularly well.
Has this happened? I mean, this seems such an odd move, though, to pull a game from the store. I mean, it's up there. You know, even if you're not if it's not selling well, it doesn't cost you anything to just keep it up there. I mean, has this happened before elsewhere, John?
Not in the circumstances that I can. That's kind of similar. I mean, people have done stuff like, you know, NG Moco pulled Wii Rule and turned it into Wii Rule Quest, didn't they? And they said that was for various reasons, but I imagine it was because they got such bad ratings when they're having all their server problems. That it kind of made sense to pull that down and relaunch it under a different name. But, I mean, that's just something different.
With new ratings.
Yeah,
right?
No, exactly.
Okay, I guess EA has done, does that with their sports releases.
And
but even that's different. It's not pulling it because of I mean, we're assuming that the reason why the game is being pulled, it has to do with quality. You know, and I think that was what makes it different here. Because if the game was a high selling, high quality game, you know, LucasArts probably wouldn't pull it. But that they also probably wouldn't be pulling the license from THQ. So,
I mean, there can be other issues. Because I mean, Glue Mobile pulled a bunch of stuff, didn't they? They pulled Glider 2, which is available on Android now,
yeah,
but not
true,
not available on iPhone. So, there can be. Again, I think that was a quality reason as well. I think.
Really?
What?
I like that game.
Yeah, but it was when it went to iOS 4. They didn't want to spend the time updating it all.
Okay.
So I think it was like a Retina graphics thing.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah. So we'll keep an eye out on other news in case more Star Wars games suddenly start dropping faster than Banthas in a.
Bantha droppings.
That's a good one. I'll take that. We're dropping faster than Bantha droppings.
They drop their droppings fast.
Yes.
Droppings.
Anyway, iPad 2 launched in the UK this week. Last week. End of last week. After we'd recorded last week's podcast. There were queues, you know? Before
really?
The day before, people were queuing up in Regent Street in London to get their hands on the iPad 2. There's only about 8 people queuing up there at that point. But yeah, I think it's in quite short supply. Or am I being misled, John?
Why would I know? Why would I know these things?
Just like putting you on the spot, John.
I would be amazed if it wasn't in short supply, because it's still in short supply in the States. So
yes, yeah.
I'd be amazed if it wasn't in short supply elsewhere. But it's kind of, I mean, there's not been any official figures at all, have there?
No, they haven't said anything.
It diddly squat about it, so.
Which is odd. Yeah. Well, I didn't see anyone queuing up in Cambridge to get one on when I was there for the 3DS launch. But they had closed off that section of the shopping market, shopping mall anyway, so I wouldn't have. But yes. Yeah, no, it sounded like it was a reasonably successful launch from all the reports. Yeah. So, what else? Oh, no, that's it. I think that's it for the news this week. We should really go down to the rumor mine.
I hear it's been cleaned.
Yeah, I'll believe it when I see it.
Rimmer. Rimmer.
Smells clean-ish.
It's clean for the rumor mine.
For a mine. Yeah.
What rumors have we got lurking in the bucket that's suspiciously filled with soapy water?
Well, it's been so busy cleaning that we only have 2 new rumors. We've already discussed one, the first one, which is that iPhone 5 isn't coming out until autumn. So
I had a feeling there was rumor miner's fingerprints were around that.
Mm-hmm.
The smell, actually.
One of the launch titles for 3DS is a Ghost Recon game, which is a tactics game, Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon Shadow Wars. Rumor miner is saying that that is going to be coming to iPhone and iPod Touch. Ooh. Obviously without the 3D.
What?
Well, I'm not buying it then.
Yeah. Maybe I was under the impression that I would get 3D. That's good. I reviewed that this week. It's not.
Yeah, how is it?
I don't know if I can reveal it. That's under the NDA that I signed with joining. Yeah, it's good. It isn't. It to be fair, I can believe this rumor because to be quite honest, other than the menus which look quite cool and the fact that they seem to find at every opportunity they can put a very large cavern in the map, like a chasm, sorry, so you can see things going down. There's not really that much 3D in it. I mean, you could very happily play it on 2D without losing anything, and it's basically a DS tactics strategy game. It's good.
Your review's just gone live, hasn't it?
Has it?
I can see, yeah. Ghost Recon Shadow Wars. Yeah,
that's my review. Yeah. What's that doing up there? It wasn't finished? No, it was finished. Yes. It's pretty good. I liked it because it was quite fast as well. It suits the platform. And it's not going to sell. Because no one's going to buy it. Because it looks like crap from the screenshots. Which is a shame.
It was really kind of the only launch title that caught my eye. Yeah, it's kind of weird. Because I mean, there are other 3DS games that catch my eye, but they're not out yet. You know, I want to play the Paper Mario. Looks really kind of, will probably be really good. The new Mario Brothers, whenever that comes out. And And even though I've played it 1.5 million times, Ocarina of Time looks really good too.
No, the launch lineup has not been particularly impressive, has it? I think it's fair to say.
To be fair, out of all the games, I'd say Shadow Wars was one of the strongest. Gameplay wise, definitely, and length. It basically, you could play all of the other 3DS launch titles and complete them before you finish that. I spent a good 25 hours on that, and I haven't got all of the medals or so I'm still quite a way off getting all that. But whilst Pilot Wings, you can finish in half an hour apparently. So it's kind of like, yeah.
Oh my god, that bad!
I don't think it was quite half an hour.
It was an hour, I think.
I think it was about an hour. Yeah.
An hour? Jeez, that's ridiculous. Super Monkey Ball is the same way. It's just really
That's really short.
Really thin on content.
Well, there's I think it's about 80 levels. So Mike reckoned he did it in 2 hours. So,
but for $40 or how many? $30 or something like that? Yeah. I mean, that's just absolutely absurd. Absolutely absurd. Hopefully that comes true. I mean, that would be a great game to, you gave it a 7. That's a solid score.
It is a solid score. It would have got a bit higher had it taken more advantage of the 3DS. So, I mean, if it was on and included multiplayer, 400. If it's on iPhone, I can imagine it being very successful. A lot of people will like it. It's got that sort of, it's got a good, it's very nicely done.
That'd be nice, considering the last Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon game that hit iPhone wasn't all that hot.
Yeah. So. I like Ghost Recon. Well, as in the series.
I do too.
Soft spot for it. It's nothing like that. Any of the other Ghost Recons, mind this one. But yeah. Anyway, so is that the other rumor then?
We have one more rumor.
Oh, cool.
That's two, three. Third one is not about iPhone. It's about Windows Phone 7 and how Microsoft is pushing Epic Games to port their very noted Unreal Engine 3 to Windows Phone 7. Now, what's interesting about this rumor is when the rumor miner was articulating it to me, he had mentioned that part of that there's a lot of buzz about Microsoft wanting Epic to do a Gears of War type game on Windows Phone 7. I think that's a bit of a stretch. I think there's so much that has to happen before that even occurs. And so Tracy is willing to see Epic put the resources behind just porting the engine over, and then perhaps another company, Epic sort of working with another developer on a Gears of War game. But I'm not so certain that that's, in the pipeline as of right now. But the rumor as it is Unreal Engine 3 coming to Windows Phone 7 soon. That's the rumor.
I like the way the crackle returns as John's mic.
Are you blaming me?
it wouldn't run anything like Gears of War anyway. It wouldn't work.
But in the same way, the Infinity Blade. There's something you can do there. I mean, obviously, the big issue on that is, will Microsoft let them code up in C++, as in native code, rather than going through C#, which is what they let everyone do at the moment, which is what everyone's really annoyed about. So there's a bigger strategic issue there about how Microsoft decides it wants to change or not change its business.
Right. That's the last rumor. I think we should head out to the what we've been playing fields. And this week, I'm going to nominate Tracy to begin.
Okay. I will talk about Tiger Woods and Luxor, Amun Rising, which I'm in process of reviewing. But first, Tiger Woods, which is reviewed and is up on the site and came out a couple of days early because everybody thought it was coming out on Thursday.
Was it a 4 out of 10? Or was it?
Ho, ho, ho.
Or was it a? All right, continue.
I'm waiting. I'm waiting. Go ahead.
No. I've done my round. going back.
It was actually double that. It was an 8, or it is an 8. It's pretty enjoyable, but if longtime readers of Pocket Gamer will remember that the previous Tiger Woods scored a point higher, gave it a 9 more than a year and a half ago. And the reason why this one is an 8 is because it's not all that different. It's pretty much more of the same. You got some new courses, which are actually very nicely designed. You've got a huge leap in terms of graphics. But the shot mechanics are all the same. They have been tuned up. They feel a little bit tighter. You have a really cool new boost mechanic. So if you hold your, when you slide your finger down to start this, the swing, you can hold your finger at the bottom of the gauge for just a second. It'll, the gauge will turn red, and that signifies that you have boost. And then you finish the swing by swiping up, and your ball will go farther.
Is this, so that's kinda, is this the street racing version of golf?
Yeah, basically.
Okay.
And the reason why it gets a point lower is, as I said, it's essentially most the same. But I feel that there's a bit of a missed opportunity here because, you know, now we have, you know, Game Center is available. Electronics, you know, EA Mobile certainly has the resources to do, you know, network play, and it's just not here. So, you know, instead what they've done, which is creative, is they've done a closest to the pin challenge mode where you try to hit, you know, you try to whack a ball as close to the pin as possible. It's a great idea, but it's restricted to Facebook users only. So rather than making that available to anybody who uses the game and saying, okay, you have to sign up for EA Online Pass, for example, and have an EA account, you have to have Facebook. And, you know, I get that it's easy to implement Facebook Connect, but at the same time, it would be nice if they offered that to anybody who plays the game. So what you're left with, if you're adamant about not using Facebook, what you're left with is exactly the same game as you were given, you know, as you bought a year and a half ago, as, you know, local multiplayer, but there's no online multiplayer, there's no online achievements, there aren't any leaderboards. So, you know, it's solid. I do recommend it. I think it's good. I do think it's best played, though, as a solo game. You know, if you're just looking to for a couple of rounds of a couple of rounds of golf by yourself, not connected, not multiplayer. It's really the swing mechanics that carry the game through, and it's by far the best in terms of mechanics. But in terms of features, I'd really like to see EA start to push it, and hopefully they will. The other game I'm playing is Luxor Amun Rising, which I am a huge fan of Luxor. I think these games are so well done. And I've just been playing it to death. That said, it's a lot like Tiger Woods. It's just more of the same. And there's not a lot new to it. I think there's a couple of new power-ups, some new stages, but essentially it's just marble popping gameplay. I just think it's really well done. I think it's supremely polished. And that's super important to me when I look at puzzle games. Because there are just so many puzzle games out there. The thing that really gets, you know, a game to stand out in that genre is if it just feels just right on the money and polished and tight, and every little T is, you know, crossed and every I is dotted. And this game definitely feels that way. So if you liked the first Luxor that Mumbo Jumbo did in partnership with NG Moco on their Plus network, you'll really like this sequel. It's not Plus Network anymore. It's all Game Center, and they've done a nice job. So look for a review of that soon.
Cool. Looking forward to it. I will go next, as I am never going to go last ever again. I have been playing a few games this week, so I'll rattle through them very quickly. First one up is Ringblade, which is a sort of, it's a shoot 'em up action game where you play a sort of machine at the bottom of the screen which throws blades, which you can, rather than using a virtual D-pad or a or joystick or anything, you flick the blades up the screen and move your little machine with by putting your finger on it and sweeping left and right. It's really nice looking. It's in. It's sort of like a cross between sort of graffiti art and sort of tattoo sort of symbols and very sort of. It's quite very well drawn, very well animated. And some of the creatures are quite original in their design. I mean, just from the screenshot on my review of it, the plant things actually sort of grow extra plants, which sort of curve their way down towards you, which is, I think is quite cool. Unfortunately, it's not very good. The actual shooting, it's all right for a few brief goes, but if you really want to go for a top score on the game, you basically aim for the side that's closest to you and just sort of let your blade bounce around, because the more bounces it does, the more multiplier you get. So, and of course, the tighter the angle, the more chance you have of hitting something. So it just ends up being bouncing around, firing randomly at the wall. The other problem with it is that the movement controls just don't work, in the sense that if you're firing the thing by sweeping your finger up and you want to move to the left quickly, you can't do that because you've already just sweeped up and you've got to take your finger off, move it down, and then it might recognize you as throwing a new blade, or it might make you move, or it might just get confused and stop. And there are so many enemies after the first like five or so levels that it just becomes impossible. It's just not fun. So yes, a bit disappointed with Ring Blade, despite the graphics, which are very good. One of the other games I've been playing this week, let me remember. Oh yes, I've been playing No Gravity, which is a port of a PSP game that was out a few years back, I think.
I remember that. That was the first downloadable only game in Europe.
Yes.
I think I reviewed it.
You did indeed. Yeah. After I posted my review, I sort of was putting in the product name and found out there was one already in there. And I was like, uh-oh. But no, it was all right. It was your review of the PSP version. I didn't like it. It's got the weirdest introduction ever. I don't know if you remember this, John, because I read your review afterwards and it's just sort of like, yep, there we go. It sounds like it. But the introduction's like 10 minutes of just still images with someone talking really slowly. And then the game starts and there's really nothing that connects the two together. I mean, it's sort of, there is some form of connection. There's a mind disease and mind plague and people are dying and they all try and flee the planet. But once you actually start the missions, it's just like the mission will say, please protect this convoy or destroy the mines. And it's kind of like, right, okay, where did the plot go? And it's all a bit, sort of, it looks nice. It looks very nice on the iPad. It's a universal app. But I mainly play it on the iPod Touch. It doesn't tell you anything. It like doesn't tell you what any of the buttons do, what you're supposed to be doing. The AI doesn't seem very good, just sort of flies around randomly. It's not very clear who you're targeting on the screen. There's no obvious way of tracking a single target. You don't see any damage from anyone, so you don't know who to target most. Your companions just fly around like lunatics, and half the time you shoot them. And it's in the missions themselves are all a bit sort of Wing Commander-esque, and the fact that you just hyperspace somewhere, shoot everything there, then hyperspace back. Which was fine on Wing Commander, because A, it was the early 90s, and B, they had a story. And this, it's just sort of disconnected bits, and I didn't like it very much. The review isn't up yet, because we're still sort of... Yeah. But yes.
I'm going to say, reading my review from 2 years ago... Yes, almost exactly 2 years ago, I gave it 5 out of 10, and pretty much everything you said, I said as well. So I think you're kind of suggesting I thought it was a brilliant game or something.
No, I was actually sort of surprised that it was pretty much. I think I went on the actual full review. There is other bits that I'm not mentioning now.
Obviously, they just literally ported the entire thing.
They've basically ported it, as far as I could tell. Yes. But, yeah, I didn't think it was very good. I think there's some... The thing is, the PSP version wouldn't have suffered from the same lack of labeling for the controls as the iPhone version. Because you've got buttons. So, I mean, you know... That was really weird as well. They just disable your boost bar. Like, boost button. There's no bar. It won't tell you how... I didn't know if it was because I had a limited amount of boost or if I... But every other mission, it seemed to work every single time I pressed it. And then all of a sudden on this mission, I pressed it once and it was crossed out. I don't know really why. There's nothing to suggest why. And there's no help menus either. It's just really confusing. Not very good. Anyway, what else was I playing? Final game. I'll really quickly go through this one. But what was it?
It made an impression.
Oh yes, War Pinball. It's Pinball Games by the people that made Pinball HD. It's almost exactly like Pinball HD in the fact that it's a bit floaty. It's got tables that could have been really good, like the design's really nice, and it's very sort of pinball-like. But if you played any sort of pinball over the years, you'll find them kind of annoying because they're not quite what they don't have quite what makes a great pinball table. Pinball tables should have like the intriguing bonuses which you can get. They sort of rewarding skill, but also rewarding a clever sort of player who can pick out great. Like you can go for certain parts of the board and this other parts do other things and it doesn't have that. It's very linear, but it looks great, sounds great. And if you're after a pinball game for the iPad, it's still not bad. So if you liked Pinball HD, you'll probably love War Pinball HD, but it's not, there's still plenty of room for improvement. I hope the guys, can't remember the name, GameProm. I hope they, cause they've also got some talent there. I just hope their table design is a little bit more interesting next time around. But there we go. John, sorry.
Yeah, not really been playing vast amounts this week for various reasons. I can't even think why I haven't played. Anyway, well, partly because I got 3DS, but I didn't play very much of that because it was Super Monkey Ball and that wasn't very good. But yeah, we'll ignore that. So there's one game that just came out. I haven't really played. I only played the first couple of levels. I only just noticed it came out, and it's called Great Little War Game. And it's from a developer I'd never even heard of, but even though they're a UK developer who developed loads of games, but I guess they've done a lot of porting stuff, really. And it's kind of like, I know Tracy will remember this from a few years ago. There's a game on the iPhone called Grunts, and it's very much kind of like that. I mean, it's not quite the same, because this is like a turn-based, kind of tile-based, turn-based kind of soldier game. But it graphically, it reminded me very much of Grunts, but it doesn't seem to suffer from that game's particular issues. So that's kind of interesting. I've only played the first couple of levels, but you basically, it's a fairly kind of cutesy-looking kind of war game where you control your little chaps in a fairly, I mean, it's not quite as hardcore strategy as say, your Ghost Recon on the 3DS, but you get tanks and ships and stuff. So I'll check that out. And then a game I've kind of mentioned probably about over a month ago, and they never really got around to reviewing it, called RoboSockets. And that's just had a quite a big update. So it's gained iPad support, and they've kind of tweaked the difficulty setting, which was got rather odd after about three quarters of the way through. So I'm playing through that again on the iPad just to see how that works. And that's kind of like the elevator pitch of that is it's Tetris meets Match 3 meets Pipes. So you're dropping little robots down the screen, and they all have little connectors on the four corners, and you have to connect five of them together to make them disappear. So I'm kind of enjoying playing through it again. So, but that's about it for me, I'm afraid. I've failed on the playing a lot this week.
You mean I rushed through my playing fields just to be told, oh, I didn't play much.
Sorry.
No, it's fine. Indeed, your contribution was very good.
I got Street Passed, if that helps.
Oh, what?
That's a big exciting thing this week, isn't it? How many Street Passes we get?
Yeah.
You get Street Passed, Tracy? Get any...
I have not got a 3DS.
I haven't? No, so you haven't been then. No? So yeah. You've been a Street Pass as many times as Will has.
Go on yesterday, John.
Did you? No, shut up then.
Back at you. I wasn't even walking around. I just had it by my windowsill. Anyway, enough about this. We should be off for the night. I've got to find a crowded public place to get more of my Street Passes. And everyone else has got much better things to do. I hope you've enjoyed this week's episode. We will be back next week. Yes, we will be back next week. I don't know why I paused there. I was sort of thinking, there's a reason.
Next week.
Something's going to happen next week. But it's not 2012 yet, so we're all fine.
It's a secret, Will. It's a secret. Or surprise, sorry. Sorry.
Well, now I'm intrigued. yes, but we will be back next week. And I hope you've enjoyed this week's show. And yeah, we look forward to having you around our house for tea. Same time next week. Oh, sorry. I should do the proper goodbyes. And so, yes. So from all of us here, goodbye. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.